Coming to you from the Deep South, this is the Blue Collar Leadership Podcast. High impact leadership is not reserved for leaders, and it has nothing to do with your position, title, or rank. However, it does have everything to do with your character. It's time to climb to the next level and beyond, personally and professionally. Now, let's start making it happen with your host, Max Story.
Hello, and thanks for listening to the Blue Collar Leadership Podcast today, or maybe you're watching on YouTube. So if you're a regular listener of the podcast, I just want to remind you that if you're listening to this, it's also available at this time on Blue Collar Leadership on the YouTube channel. And that's youtube.com/@Blue Collar Leadership. And you can go watch it. If you want to see how good looking my guest is today, all you got to do is go get on the video. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and introduce you to Mr. Matthew McGrath. It's a pleasure to have you on today, Matthew.
Thank you, Max Story. It's a real pleasure for me to be here. It's really exciting to join you on your podcast. I've listened to and watched your podcast several times, and it's kind of surreal to be here with you. So it's very exciting.
It's cool, man. I'm glad to introduce you, though, to the audience, and thank you. And if you don't mind, if you'll just share, you know, how do we even come to know each other? Because you don't live anywhere close to me, so you share where you live, where you're coming from, and how do we even come to know each other?
All righty, so I'm actually in Zagreb, Croatia right now, and I've lived in Croatia for the better part of 20 years. Wow. I had a four-year stint in Berlin, Germany. But 16 years in Croatia. So I left the United States in 2004.
Okay.
And you and I met somewhat recently on LinkedIn. So that's the power of technology these days. And everybody, even across the world, on the other side of the world, is like a next door neighbor when you're on LinkedIn. And I had been liking some of your posts. And then you sent me a message. I think I got it around midnight or one, but I have a small child, so I was awake, and there was a really nice and warm greeting you sent me with some links to some free chapters of your book and some resources, and talking about how you support your network. And then I clicked on one of those links the next day, and I put on one of your podcasts there, and you were going through one of the chapters in your books. And then you said something that really spoke to me very deeply. And you said something like this. It was, I want you to know, whoever you are out there, that I love you unconditionally. And I want you to have a better life. And that I'm doing this because that's what I'm about. And that's what I want. And you had mentioned that you read every day for half an hour, and that you really don't like reading, and that you do that every day for, I don't know, 12 or 15 years, however many years it's been, so that you can help people better.
Yeah.
And that just really resonated with me, because there's so many people out there. There's so many voices and so many, you know, the leadership development field or any kind of business consulting and thought leaders. There's millions.
Yeah.
And I heard some the words that I feel in my heart come out of your mouth when you said that. I said that's my guy. That's because that's how I feel, you know. And I've even used that word love to speak about how I work with people and how I get so excited to see their progress.
Yeah.
And there's no better word than that. And in the business setting, sometimes the word love is a bit out of place, and it's not what people are using that often, but I have used it to describe how I feel about the people that I work with. And then when I heard you using that word, it really resonated with me. And then I remember the next day I wrote back to you and said, you know, that I listened to your podcast, and you've already been a blessing to me and really inspired me. And then I spent some time listening to other podcasts of yours, and just, you know, I love this like no nonsense approach. So I'm a guy who we all need good influences in our lives, some coaches and mentors. And I really kind of like this tough love approach So a little bit of kind of no nonsense approach and someone to tell me, you know, how it is and how you're kind of teaching, you're teaching character, discipline, you know, hard work, these very, you know, blue collar values, and they really speak to me. And that's the kind of influence that I need in my life. And since, you know, then why I'm on the call now is because I was following your posts and liking, and then in one of the comment section in somebody else's post, then you wrote your phone number there and said, hey, you know, reach out to me if you ever want to do a call. And I jumped on that opportunity right away. And I wanted to get in touch and talk to you about leadership. And then we had a couple calls, and you really, you know, inspired me as a role model and as a mentor. And I think it made a big difference in my trajectory, because it's been tough over here. You know, I'm kind of, I mean, I have a lot of contacts and friends and things, but I have role models, you know, from the books and videos and podcasts and things, but it just meant a lot to me to have, you know, a mentor in the leadership development field who is really talking about the kind of things that I care about and that I could look up to. And, you know, you got the books and the podcasts and all those things that are kind of the hard work you've put in to creating, all these different media and different ways of influencing people and making an impact. And then I really look up to that and want to do something similar. And so it's been really, just a massive opportunity. And it's been a great joy for me to have that positive influence from you. And I think one more thing I'll say before you can ask another question is that.
Dump the truck on us, Matthew.
Yeah, I got another one. There's a. Recently someone was posting about beliefs and the beliefs we have in ourselves. And I think you have a similar story about this, how somebody believed in you and that made you believe in yourself. And I think when we're, you know, when we have a big vision and big goals, then it's easy to get discouraged or it's easy to talk ourselves out of them. And somebody wrote recently in one of the comment sections about belief, they said, and if you don't have enough belief in yourself, then you can just borrow it from somebody else who believes in you.
Yeah.
And I think you really became that person for me right away, because you said, you know, you got to, whatever your goal is, you got to build that thing. It's going to help a lot of people. You can do it. And having that kind of belief and conviction with which you express that belief really made an impact on me and really kind of turbocharged me.
And, I like it.
Yeah, it's great. It's fun.
It is fun. And that's some good stuff you said. And I forget who somebody, it may even been my mom at some point, but it's been a little while. Somebody used to call me Mr. Sparky. They said that's what I did. I was a spark in other people's lives, you know, to get that fire going and fan the flame. But, you know, I want to mention a couple of things you said a minute ago. You're talking about love. You know, it's not a word that a lot of people do talk about, especially in the blue collar world. Us blue collar folks got some hard shells, to crack. We got the armor on, got to be tough and all that stuff. And when I'm talking to the blue collar groups, sometimes I'll say something about love and I say, I know y'all don't want to hear about it. It's all soft, warm and fuzzy and all that kind of stuff. But I said, one way to understand it is to take it to the extreme. If you can walk through the door every day and work with a boss who loves you, or you can work with a boss who hates you, I bet you choose love every time, right? Because that's right. Mm-hmm. Everybody understands when you make it black and white and clear like that. And so, so that's really cool. And one thing before I take your conversation a little further, I want to mention for everybody watching, because what you're wanting to do is the same thing I'm doing. You just want to do it in your way, right? In your way, in your space, with your audience. So I just want to take a little teaching moment to share with people. And we just... We just met recently, right? We talked several hours by video, though, and I was attracted to who you are and your mission right off the bat. We do have a lot of shared values and want to help a lot of the same people, no matter where they're at in the world. And so the point I want to make to people is there's no competition. I'm here to shine my light on you. I want you to succeed. You're not competition for me. I ain't ever had anybody call me and say, Mac, we got too many leaders. Can you help get rid of a few of them? There ain't nobody ever calling saying that. So, and our world needs all the help it can get. So I just want to share with them, and then we can take this wherever you want it to go. But at some point in that conversation, when we first got on the video to talk, you just threw it out there that you had come up with that idea about justpromoted.com, and you had bought the domain. And I mean, as soon as you got that out of your mouth, I was like, you got to make that happen.
Yeah.
And they would lie to you. And you have started making it happen. So tell us, tell us about that. We'll get to your story too, but that's part of your story. That's good stuff.
So it's just an idea right now, but it's a pretty serious idea and it's a pretty well-defined vision. But what happened to me is I was taking a training course about how to make membership sites or memberships by a guy named Stu McLaren. Membership Experience. And I was actually doing that to kind of get my wife. So my wife's been a stay-at-home mother for the last 9 years.
Yep.
And I know that she's itching to do something and to make an impact and to, you know, start a side business or something like that. And so that actually, I was trying to get her into that. Cause a lot of, you know, it's like a part-time job. You can make a membership and this kind of stuff. And then this guy, Stu, the teacher or the trainer or the proprietor of the Membership Experience, he asked if you're a coach or consultant. He was talking about how people get ideas for memberships. And then he said, if you're a coach or consultant, what do people ask you about the most? And then who comes to you for help the most? And then the answer came right away. It was the, you know, just got promoted leaders or the first time leaders. And then that night I went. So there's another guy by the name of Tom Woods who has a couple memberships and things, and he's very, very good copywriter, and he has probably 500 different web domains. Every time he makes a special offer, he makes a different domain. So I got this idea of the like the creative domains. If you use several words, then you'd be surprised what domains are out there.
Yeah.
And then I just went right away that night to check if this was available, because this idea came to me, justgotpromoted.com, for people who just got promoted. And sure enough, the domain was available and I bought it right away. But I didn't do anything with it because I wasn't really sure that I wanted to. So I, in my day job, I'm working in a large corporation and developing leaders there. And I do enjoy that. But for whatever reason, it didn't feel like it was. You know, if I'm going to start a business or start some kind of large project or community, then it had to be something where you're all in, and something that is, or otherwise it feels like work, or you just create a job for yourself, you know? And so then I had to chew on it for a while. But then as things progressed, then I started to realize, well, it's not just about if I want to do it or not, but it's, you know, some of those talking myself out of doing it might be some of these fears and doubts. And, you know, as I called it in this recent newsletter that I wrote, playing a small game, talking yourself out of playing a bigger game, put yourself out there. And,
yeah,
you know, and so then and my wife kept saying this, and I think it was true. And other people, if I mentioned the idea to them, everyone said, oh, you got to build that thing, because it just is a really good, even now people say, oh, it's a really good domain name. Is I love it. You got to build that. And then it started to feel more like a responsibility, some kind of inspiration that's not of your own making. And then it's like a calling, as they call it, right? And then it's like, well, there's people out there, and you said this, you said, and this something is just really, you know, I'm thinking about every day. You said, you know, Matthew, if you don't build that, you got to build that, because there's people out there that are waiting for you to show up.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's newly promoted managers or whoever they are out there. There's people out there. They're waiting for you to show up. And if you don't build this, then they're not going to get the help they need.
Yeah.
And that really, you know, made me centered me and said, okay, it doesn't matter, you know, if it's me or who it is or how it is, or if I know what I'm doing or how to do it, but I really took your words to heart. And I think that's true for all human beings. We all have, you know, and that it can change at different times, but we all have callings and we all have purpose and we all get inspiration, you know, like they say, the phone rings and are you going to answer it or not?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, different phones ring at different times, and lots of those phones I probably didn't answer for whatever reasons over the years. And so then, you know, even if you miss a few of those calls, they'll still come again. So that some way in which you can grow and serve and impact, it will show up, and then you still get another opportunity. And I feel like this is one of those calls that I got to, you know, figure out how to build this thing. So we're right at the very beginning, but I can feel once you get started and get moving, then things start happening. And so, you know, connecting with you, but then I've probably connected with 10, 20, 30 other people just, you know, in the DMs and things. They say, hey, yep, I really like what you're doing. You know, if I can help out, let me know. And then I just think, wow, when we get to the Just Got Promoted podcast and the guest speakers, and I'm going to have, there's a lot of people who want to step in and help the newly promoted leaders, because a lot of them also didn't get a lot of help and support.
Yeah.
And I think that's really the focus. Or like, actually a guy asked me today, he said, so what's your niche? I said, my niche is the people who don't have any help and any support. So then we talked about maybe this, who just got promoted. Yeah. No mentors, no good role models, and no coaching, and no leadership development within their company. So these kind of smaller companies and startups, that's the norm. Yep. Right. So in a lot of the big corporations, you have leadership, let's say leadership tree, where people are developing other leaders and succession planning and, you know, high potential programs for future leaders and all those. So there are a lot of companies in the world do have all those resources and things, but a lot of companies have not much of anything. And I know you're doing the same thing, where you're operating in a lot of places where nothing had ever been spent in any leadership development capacity until, yep, you walked in the door, right? So you're working also in a similar, let's say, different population, but similar deficit for resources and leadership development. So I think we have that in common.
Yeah. Yeah. And really for me, you know, we hit it from both ends, because the folks you're talking to, they're my audience too. You know, my potential client or whatever you want to call it, but the people who, that's what kind of makes it hard for me when I'm speaking and sharing stuff. Cause sometimes I'm talking to the leader who needs to be motivated and inspired to develop their people, cause they never have. And we got content for those folks. But then sometimes I'm talking to the entry-level worker or the entry-level supervisor or manager that's just been promoted, and everybody in between, but their company's not doing anything. So we kind of hit both, but I think, yep, you really owned to something with, but even your justgotpromoted.com brand, that's going to still be awesome, because I mean, at some point someone's going to have just been promoted to CEO. So you may expand into the same, you know, it may quickly go to not just the very brand new leader, but the person who just been promoted. Every time you go to a new level, you got to develop another level of understanding to lead more people. So probably going to end up, we're going to be both kind of doing the same thing, but differently. But principle-wise, it's going to be the same exact thing. And our world does need all the help it can get. And I just share with the audience that day when you said, well, you're just casually talking. You're like, well, I got this idea, you know, just domain, I got just promoted.com. And, you know, and I said, you got to do that. But what was awesome to me was you trusted me enough, not even knowing me, to share that with me. Because when I was thinking, as soon as you said it, first thing I thought, actually two things at the same time. One thing was, you got to make that happen. The other thing was, I can't believe he just shared that. Like, I'm thinking, you got to make this happen before somebody else hears it and steals it or whatever. You got to, however much you can protect it. You got to go get the podcast name, the YouTube channel. You got to get you got to go get it all before somebody else gets it. And you've been on a mission since then. You've been trying to get as much as you can and get all that squared away, right? Because as soon as you put it out there, I mean, we own so many domains that we're probably never going to use, but they related to our domain. And so we had to go pay and keep these things, you know, keep paying up for domains we're really not even using. But so somebody else can't steal it and try to steal our brand. Cause like you said, it's a lot of work. it's a lot of work to build a brand. It don't happen overnight. And it might happen for you because yours is so good. for most of us, we got to do a lot of work.
For me, because I have get and with today we got guest speaker Mr. Max Story, and my brand's gonna explode on day one.
But I will be on your podcast if you ever want me or Rhea, either one.
I know it.
And happy to add value to you.
I was thinking of you as first guest, but I hope you won't mind. I want to get my dad as the first guest because now I was talking with him and I said, man, dad, you are good, man. So,
I absolutely go with dad.
I told him yesterday, get a pair of headphones like this. And I signed up for a StreamYard and, I'm ready to go. So I said, hey, Dad, we're going to start as soon as possible. Go get your headphones.
That's outstanding. And you probably could do, I'm going to let you share just 1 second about your dad and why you want him to be the first one. But I already know just a tiny bit about your dad, but you can do series with him. You know, when you come across somebody like, I mean, you know, he'll help you, but I'll help you too. But I ain't inviting myself to be on any more than you want me. But a lot of people who have me on, I tell them I'll do series with people because I just want to help people. Yeah. I don't care if it's free or it's paid or whatever. Yeah. It don't make any difference.
Yeah.
So you're going to meet people like that you could do series on. Like your dad, you could have a multi-part series, and then he could come on every so often. Tell him about dad. Tell him my dad.
Yeah, so
a little bit about what you're going to be talking about.
Yeah, so my dad, we talk often about leadership, and he's on LinkedIn there and he reads some of the things that I'm posting, and he's got 42 years of people leadership experience.
Yeah. So he probably got a little something to bring to the table.
He's got a lot. Yeah. So he went to West Point back in the 70s, graduated in class of 74, and then he was in the military, I think for 23 years, but I'm not exactly sure how many.
Okay.
So then he was so then he can talk about being a second lieutenant and again that first experience as an officer and then even how they produce leaders at West Point. That's when people argue about if leaders are born or made, then I say, hey, go talk to anybody who went to West Point. They didn't walk in there leaders, right? So that's the factory, military general. I know you spent some time in the Marine Corps. So they're turning normal people into leaders every day, right? So they're they're the kind of gold standard for the the real evidence that leaders can be made. And then he had a career in the military as an officer and was retired as a lieutenant colonel, and then he got to move to the corporate world, and he had some very senior executive positions there, reporting to the CEO, and some large corporations. And
what's his name?
He's able to then to talk. Don McGrath, Donald J. McGrath. Yep.
Okay. All right, Don.
He's my treasure trove because every time we talk, he's got good things to say about leadership. And then once he gets started, then he's remembering all those stories. So he's not a leadership development expert and speaker. So the stories aren't as, available to him as they are to you. He hasn't practiced them as many times. But then once he gets going, then one story leads to another. And then I said, man, I wish we were recording this, Dad. So we got to jump on that. So,
yeah, that's going to be awesome. So one time when I was going through some John Maxwell training, I learned they were talking about, they were studying John. It was like a 90-minute lesson. They were some of my previous mentors were studying John and breaking down a speech he was giving. And helping you learn how he speaks. And the biggest nugget I took away from all that was they just said there's two kind of speakers. And you just described one of them. And I feel like I'm one of them. Rhea's kind of both of them, but I won't ever be both of them. But there's expert speakers. You know, they can remember like a keynote speech. They can give it the same keynote speech 100 times over and it'd be the same experience for every audience. That ain't me. Never going to be me. But then there's people like they describe what John is. John is an expert who speaks. There's expert speakers and they're experts who speak. And that's who I want to be, an expert who speaks. And relative to leadership development, expert doesn't mean you know everything. It means you're a lifetime student of leadership and personal development. That's to me, that's what a leadership expert is. It means they're a lifetime student. Anybody who thinks they know it all, they're not a leadership expert.
No way.
What you just described, though, was your dad is an expert who speaks. No matter whether he's done it a lot of times or he's doing it, you know, recalling a memory for the first time when you and him are being interviewed. But that's what I want to be, is that kind of, I can't remember nothing on purpose. Plus, I speak authentically. I may talk to somebody. I want to change what I'm saying. Just like these interviews, they're never scripted. I really hate when people interview me and they want to do a script, because it just messes me all up. Cause I don't want to do a script. I want to go with whatever's going on. But what's cool, and I know you've had to have thought of this, but when you do these series with your dad, first of all, they should be just awesome. That's gonna be awesome. And I know he's got to be proud of you for wanting to do these. I mean, to do what you're about to do. And so, but you're gonna get to memorialize a lot of conversations with him between you and him, you know, for your family and for your daughter and whoever else comes. You know, I don't know how big a family you got, but that's just for you and your family. That ought to just be awesome. I mean, it got to be wicked.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah. He's got a lot. Yeah, he also worked very closely with some generals, including the two guys who were the chief of staff of the Army. So he was the spokesperson, the spokesman for them. So this is also very interesting. He's worked very closely with a lot of generals and things, and then just to talk about, I think, how this values-based leadership. And how much, you know, some of those guys, the top brass, they have, you know, egos and everything, but how much they care about others and how good listeners they are. And, you know, just a lot of special experiences that he's able to relate about working with some of these really exceptional leaders. So we'll be a series. We'll have to have a recurring, maybe monthly check-in.
That's gonna be awesome.
With dad.
Yeah.
Leadership with dad.
Hey. That's cool right there. I mean, you're gonna have so many ideas. That's what's fun about this. But that's gonna be cool. You know, something else he can tell you about in a unique way, which we kind of touched on, but that before you started talking about Mr. Don was you know, as him going into the military as a second lieutenant and then coming out as a lieutenant colonel, when I was talking about your brand just got promoted. I mean, he just got promoted a bunch of times, and he can talk to that. You know how you start at the first position. Now you get promoted again, and everything you learned before is a foundation, but it ain't enough to get you to the next level. You got to grow, develop some more. And so he can talk about it literally, you know, from a military promotion standpoint through some pretty good levels there.
Yeah. And another guest I'll have is my brother. So he was in the Marine Corps like yourself.
Okay.
Yeah.
So your family lives back in the U.S. still? Your dad's in
State? My dad's down in Santa Fe. And New Mexico. My mom. Yep. Down in New Mexico. And my mom is in Pittsburgh. And that's where I spent most of my childhood. And my brother is in Columbus. And my sister's in Columbus.
Which state? So Columbus,
Ohio. Oh, yeah. You got your Columbus, Georgia down there.
There's a lot of Columbus.
Probably every state has a Columbus, right? Columbus, Ohio. For you,
Columbus, that's cool.
Columbus, Georgia, I'm sure.
we went out to Santa Fe. I got to speak at the International Mountain Biking Association World Summit out there in Santa Fe back in 2012 or 13, because I was a founding member of a mountain bike chapter in our community. I started it as president. Rhea started as secretary, and we did a, you know, as volunteer nonprofit organization. But anyway, we got such crazy results, they invited us to go out there and speak about what we accomplished. It really was ridiculous, but that ain't why we're here. But I just remember New Mexico because I went mountain biking out there while we were there. And first, I mean, we were mountain biking at 10,000 feet elevation, and I went up a little hill, man. I thought I'd go. I was trying to take off my clothes. I couldn't breathe. There wasn't no oxygen. it was rough, but pretty. It's a pretty state.
That's real mountain biking. That's the real mountain biking right there. You got to actually go up the mountain.
Yeah, and Santa Fe is where we were at. We were at some hotel and conference center there in Santa Fe. That's where we got to speak. So we got to hang out. That's a neat city. So he's living in a cool place.
Yeah, he loves it. He goes skiing a lot. So he lives about, I don't know, 20 minutes from the ski area. So then he's going skiing several times a week. So he stays busy down there. Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. You want to shift gears and talk about any of your journey, any of your personal story or your professional story, or mix it all together?
Oh, sure. So
how far back you want to go?
So, I don't know. So so I got this military thing going on in the family.
Yeah.
And then I was kind of the kid. Yeah, we were moving around a lot. And then my parents got divorced when I was 9. So then we were living in Pittsburgh. So then we became Pittsburghers. So I was, we were in Fort Knox, Kentucky. And then we were in Germany. So actually, my first memories are of Germany from the age of 3 to 6.
Okay.
Which is possibly playing a role in why I live in Europe now. So my very first memories were from Germany, and I actually went to German kindergarten as a child and learned how to speak German.
Okay.
And then, so my parents split, but it was interesting. My dad actually got stationed in Pittsburgh for a year, and he worked in a civilian role in a public relations firm. And he also saw some very good leaders there as well, as a matter of fact. And then he went to the Pentagon after that. And then, I was there in Pittsburgh, went to Catholic school, all-boys Catholic high school, and then graduated and went to McAllister College in St. Paul, Minnesota, and then got a bachelor's degree in psychology. And then I graduated and didn't know really what to do with my life, so I went to New York City and went to acting school for a year and lived with my aunt there in the Greenwich Village, and that was quite an experience.
Wait a minute, I got to ask something. So you got a degree in psychology.
Yes.
And then you went to acting school.
Then I went to acting school.
So you're trying to figure me out. Wait a minute. So you're trying to figure me out, but you're going to act like you're not.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. Yeah, there's definitely, I wasn't there for long, but I did learn a lot. So, there is something to that. My whole life, people had told me I should be an actor. So I don't know if that's a compliment or an insult, but that was, I was just very, for whatever reason, I was kind of that. I don't know if it's because I'm a middle child, but it's something they say about middle children that's kind of entertaining and, the struggle for attention. And I was that kind of kid. So I was cracking jokes in the school and very loud and boisterous and very extroverted. And then in college, I just wandered into the theater and auditioned and then got a part in one of the plays. Awesome. And then the director said, wow, you were really good. And, you should consider doing this as a career. And then, what I learned is, and I think in the arts, it's generally that way that if you don't, you have to just like a, ballet dancer or a classical pianist or whatever it is. If you're an artist, then you just live for that.
Oh yeah.
And you need to, wake up and you're all about that until you go to bed.
Yeah.
And so I think I didn't really have that piece the same way some of the other people did. And it's so competitive there in New York City. So if you can't fake it, if you're not about that, then, so then I was just kind of not knowing what to do with my life. And then that's, what I was doing while I was going to think about it was then going to be doing the acting school and maybe be an actor. And then as I was there, I was thinking, I found a job then teaching English in Croatia.
Okay.
And that was just kind of a random idea. So I just went to look where I could. So I'd actually, this one thing that I think is very important in my, let's say, development of who I am and my life path is that I went to language immersion summer camp as a child. My two aunts sent me to summer camp in Minnesota, Bemidji, Minnesota, to German immersion camp. So that's where I relearned German.
Okay.
And then this is an institution where they teach you can learn like a year's worth of language or more in 2 weeks.
Wow. And how many languages do you speak, Matthew?
Well, it depends how you define speak, but I can get around in probably 5 or 6 of them. So, but I do speak Croatian very well.
That's impressive. I'm still trying to figure out English.
Yeah, well, my English has gotten worse over the 20 years I've lived over here. But I speak, my wife speaks even more languages. So, for me, when I say I speak a language, it doesn't mean that I'm necessarily fluent, but I can converse in a few languages. But I'm quite good at Croatian and I'm pretty good at German. And so then I went to this language camp and worked there for a few years. And then, you know, I got good at teaching German. So I was pretty confident that I could do a good job teaching English as well. And then when I went to apply for jobs, they were all in, I found a site that had different teaching English opportunities. And then they were all in China and some kind of more exotic places. And I didn't think I was going to go over there.
Yeah.
But then there was one that said teach in beautiful Croatia. And incidentally, I'd had a friend, very close friend of mine, who was a friend from this language camp and also in college. He was at the same college, and he had traveled the world. He was a very good student, and he got a scholarship or a fellowship to travel around the world and study hip hop music.
Okay.
So he traveled to Mongolia and to Senegal and France, all over the world. And one of the places he went was in Croatia. And one of the stipulations was that he had to be out of the United States for the whole year.
Okay.
And so he had, you know, documentary footage of Mongolian breakdancers and all the like Croatian freestyle battle and all these different things he had seen. And when he came back, then I asked him what was the best place. And he said Croatia was the best place. And then the way he described it was, he said, if you like greasy meat and beautiful women, Croatia is the best country in the world. Probably a little bit.
Well,
like
there's a lot of men over there.
Similar. Yeah. So then I saw that ad maybe a few months after that. So it wasn't the reason I applied, but, you know, it kind of rang a bell. I said, oh, Croatia. Yeah. And then the guy who had the job there in this small town called Križevci, the guy who had the job before me, was living in New York City at the time. And so then he met me and he told the boss of the school that I was good to go. And that's how I got the job. They had actually a lot of applications. So just coincidentally, this guy, he was originally from South Carolina, but he happened to be living in New York City. And then we met, and then he gave me, you know, he interviewed me essentially and told the boss of the school. And then I went over there just for 6 months. And then, I said, okay, I could stay on for another 6 months. And then the boss of the school said, well, if you're going to stay for six more months, then you got to stay for the whole year. And so then eventually I had a year and a half in, and I was, I don't know, 25 years old or whatever, and I didn't know where else to go. So then I just stayed here. And then how the leadership thing got started is, as a 24-year-old then, I moved to Zagreb. That's the capital city here.
Yeah,
and I work for a language school.
By the way, I haven't looked. Is that
unfortunately no? It's the northern part. Yeah. Okay. So that coast, the coast is really something special. But we don't live on the coast. But we're considering moving down there. But
probably not that far though. It ain't. I mean, the country. No, it's not.
It's not. It's the size of West Virginia.
Actually. Yeah, so you can get there.
Not that big. You can get there 3-4 hours, 2 hours maybe to get to the closest part. So then in this language school in Zagreb, then they worked in all the big companies here, and then they started sending me to teach executives. And so then I was spending, you know, several hours with these highly placed C-level managers and very good, very successful leaders who had 20 years of experience. And then being that I had this background in psychology, then I was, you know, studying them and not just teaching them English, but there were other things that we were working on. And then, I'll plug a book that helped me on my path there.
Okay.
But it's, so then one of these students, a guy named Tibor Jaeger, who was a Swedish guy that was living in Croatia, and he had some military experience in Sweden. He was a very good strategic leader, and he'd been he was running sales and business development in different Swedish companies that were active in the Balkan area for 10-20 years. And then he said to me in one of the meetings, he said, you know what you should be? I said, what? He said, I can't remember what it's called, hold on, executive coach. That's what he said. So that was about 2005. So I was 24 years old, and this guy told me I should be an executive coach. I didn't know what that was. And so then I started trying to figure out what was an executive coach. you know, and back we still had dial-up internet in Croatia. So I got on my dial-up internet and started reading. What is that exactly? Oh, that sounds pretty good. Maybe I could be that. And then actually, so it was maybe a year or two later, I found this book, The Psychology of Executive Coaching by Bruce Peltier.
Okay.
And I've actually reached out to him there on LinkedIn and told him how his book made such a difference in my life, because I've read this book three or four times, and it's basically an instruction manual for psychotherapists and people with a background in psychology to move to executive coaching.
Okay. And that's so awesome,
then,
man.
So as I was then teaching these executives English, then I was reading this book and trying to figure out, you know, what exercises and what things I could bring to them and what issues they were having, and trying to basically, it was basically like a self-led internship.
Yeah.
And so just because I had access to all these leaders and I was studying this at that time, then I was able to really learn that way. So,
wow, that's awesome. Maybe he'd be on your podcast too.
Absolutely. So I've already got his agreement, so he'll be on for sure.
That'd be a neat story. That'd be really neat.
Yeah.
That'd kind of be like if I would have ever had the chance to have Dr. Covey, author of The Seven Habits, on my podcast. I mean, he passed away.
Exactly. Yep.
You know, a long time ago, but it'd kind of be similar. If I would have ever had that opportunity, that would have just been awesome. So you're going to get that opportunity.
Yep. I'm going to get that opportunity. Yeah. And he was just really surprised, because he's not, you know, there's not, you know, YouTube videos and things of him. He has his website and he has his resources there. And this book, you know, is quite amazing. So I think everybody who's interested in coaching and actually interested in psychology. So it covers pretty much all of the schools of thought in psychology. So for people who don't know so much about psychology, it's also, you get kind of the whole, let's say, bachelor's degree in psychology just from reading one book. It's like an intro to psych.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. You know, I got my degree I just got the easiest degree I could get with a business degree. But I took all my electives in psychology because I always was just interested in that. And
amazing.
And that's what I always tell people is, to me, leadership is nothing more than the psychology of influence. I mean, that's what it is.
That's right.
I mean,
that's what it is. In essence,
I don't know if there really is such a thing as that, but there should be. but if there's not, what it is is leadership development and personal growth and all that sort of stuff is. I don't mean do you know? I don't know. I've never heard of a degree in the psychology of influence or something. But there should be.
I was looking for another book to. Oh, here it is. Hold on. One second.
Okay.
We'll plug a few books, because this is actually one of the top business books that lots of people are familiar with. That's The Psychology of Persuasion there. That's Bob Cialdini.
Yep. I've read that one. I'm actually reading his Persuasion book now. Have you heard of that book?
I've heard of the book. I haven't read it, though. Yeah, so that's kind of influence. It's priming people to be influenced, right? Something like that. Yeah. That's amazing. Yep. So I'm not surprised you've read it, because it's one of the most famous ones. I know you read your half hour a day.
Yeah. And it wasn't a half hour. I don't necessarily read a half hour. I just read every day. It probably is a half hour, but that's, the goal is, I mean, my minimum goal is a paragraph a day. That's, you know, that could take a minute or two, but that's what I recommend for especially people who don't like to read. I always tell them, the blue collar folks, because a lot of them say, I don't like to read, you know, all this kind of stuff. I say, can you read? How long does it take you to read a paragraph a day? You know,
and
I mean, one paragraph, how long does it take you? You know, people say a minute or two, and it ain't really that long if you read one of my paragraphs, because I keep them short. The book's short, the chapter's short, the words are short, the paragraphs are short, the sentences are short most of the time. Rhea says sometimes they're too long, but most of the time they're pretty short. But that's just because it's a goal people can keep. They can keep that commitment of, sometimes they're busy, they may not be able to read a chapter, especially if it's a long chapter. So then they end up not reading it. And then tomorrow they can't do it again. So eventually they don't ever form that habit. But if you read a paragraph a day, which ain't much, I always tell people, you can read a whole book if you want to, but tomorrow you still got to read that paragraph.
That's right.
I read a book sometimes in a whole day, but I still got to read the paragraph tomorrow, but it don't take long. So that's an awesome story, man. That's neat that you're doing that, and you got to interact with all those executives, and then you got into that book. And so continue on with your story.
Yeah. Well, there's another thing we have in common, because I also like to read a paragraph at a time sometimes, but it's because sometimes those thoughts are so deep that I just space out. I'm like, oh man, this is heavy. I can't take any more. So I'll just read that paragraph, because otherwise I'll forget it. Sometimes, if you're reading the right books, you might find something that's so powerful as an idea that you just want to absorb that, or even to go act on it. So sometimes, yeah, just reading actually a quote or, a couple bullet points. I mean, there's all kind, reading every day, like you said, is great, but definitely sometimes less is more. So to read, just read something and go act on it.
Yep. And then I post a lot. So I read a lot of my posts. I read a lot of other people's posts. And so I'm reading all the time, more than most people, but all you got to do is a little bit. So go ahead.
Yep. So yeah, it's quite amazing what's happened on LinkedIn. I didn't realize it was such high quality stuff happening there every day. So I learn a lot by reading those posts every day. So,
yep.
So yeah, then with the story. So then I actually founded my own company, but I didn't do it for business reasons or impact or any other things. I just needed to get papers to stay in the country in Croatia. Okay. And so then having a company was the only path, or getting married. So I chose to open a company instead of getting married.
And then you got married.
There was no other way. Yeah, I got married later, but to a Ukrainian wife. So it didn't get me any papers for Croatia. So this is always a constant issue, figuring out how to get the papers. So then at that time I opened this company, but it was not really to do business, So then I spent my 20s having this company, but it was basically just owning my job. So I was able to work just myself and my customers. And I was still doing English teaching and then slowly pivoting into coaching and some soft skills training and these kind of things. But I think, I was very much enjoying the work, and it was very good work. And I think when I speak to the people these days, some of them still show up on LinkedIn and things. So I did make a lot of impact on those people, but I never had the urge to find more of them or to market myself or to put my, and I don't know if that's probably related to just fear or insecurity or these different kind of self-limiting beliefs. So that's, I wanted to mention Marshall Goldsmith as well, because today's his birthday, actually, and I made a post about him. So so he's my other virtual coaching mentor, because at that time when I was reading this book, I was reading every Marshall Goldsmith book and watching and listening to every podcast, every video. So that was a few years later when YouTube existed. But I think the first time I saw him was he gave the talks at Google. And I must have watched it 50 times. So that was the other way that I learned. I didn't realize, things like coaching certification. So I did end up taking the Marshall Goldsmith training program and getting their stakeholder-centered certification later. But I didn't realize that was even a thing, So then I was just I was like, well, I don't know how to become a coach, but I just am going to listen to this guy all the time. And he's had a huge influence on me. And I actually posted on LinkedIn today 10 things that I learned from him, but I could have made it 20. And I didn't take quotes. I just wrote them off the top of my head because he's just a remarkable person. So a lot about, leadership and coaching, a lot of things that he says, he's kind of one, probably in a similar way that you do with John Maxwell, that you just kind of spend so much time learning from somebody and then you internalize all that stuff. And then their words come out of your mouth. In a way, and just in your language.
That's right.
And that's what Marshall Goldsmith has been for me. So,
yeah, man.
So,
that's awesome.
He's had a huge. Yeah. So today's his birthday. So happy 75th birthday to Marshall Goldsmith.
Yeah, man.
And he's still going strong. Hopefully he'll be on the podcast too. So he still does podcast experience. He's retired from coaching, but it's interesting how, your mentorship and things. So he has this 100 coaches program. And that's always been his philosophy. He says, everything I do, I give away for free. And all of my, resources and everything I use, you can find on my website, and you can take it, you can change it, you can do whatever you want with it. And, you know, he has this 100 coaches program, and he is teaching these 100 coaches that he's selected for various reasons, everything he knows. And then the only caveat is then that they have to do the same when they reach his phase of life that he's in now. Okay. So this legacy building phase. And that's, I think, similar to what you're doing. So,
yeah.
And that's
awesome. You know, what you described with him is, you know, living the abundance mindset versus, you know, having the abundance mindset versus the scarcity mindset. And it's what we were talking about earlier when I said, I don't see you as competition. It's because that's an abundance mindset. There's plenty for all of us. Mm-hmm. And even, I mean, I talk about that with the blue collar workforce, because a lot of them, you know, they get all tangled up in worrying about who got promoted and who got a raise. Mm-hmm. Everybody can get promoted. Everybody can get a raise. If you're learning the stuff that you and I teaching and talking about, anybody can do it. It may not be in the same company they in, but you develop yourself, you're going to get a raise. If you got good character,
that's
you got to have good character. You got to have a competency, but most important is the character, because it's going to either launch you or limit you depending on what degree of character you have. But, you know, that's part of my message to the individual worker is you decide when you get a raise. It ain't got nothing to do with the boss when you get a raise. It's up to you. If you got a bad boss, why you got a bad boss? I got to ask you something while we're right here. And I don't know if I'm interrupting your story. You sound like
you
ain't finished with your story.
No, it's all. We can skip around. Anything's good.
I just you on a good rhythm, though. I don't want to mess it up, but I want to make sure I ask you this. You're going to like this question.
I remember where I left off.
Okay. So you probably got this on tip of your tongue. But
all right.
But you on the podcast, you going out to the world. This is, you know, you can use this to promote yourself and who you are too. But what's your number one tip for somebody who just got promoted?
Oh man. Well, this is also borrowed from Marshall Goldsmith, but it's to be humble.
Oh, that's
be humble, because that's where your learning is going to come from. And this is also something I heard from a friend at one time. He said, you know, the leaders who overestimate themselves and underestimate the difficulty of their job, of the new job, do the worst. And the ones who underestimate themselves a little bit and who overestimate the difficulty of the job, they do better on average. And so then I often close my posts on LinkedIn with that message. Stay humble. Read some books, find a coach, find a mentor, listen to some podcasts. And that's, I think, you know, that humility and that ability to say, hey, I'm a beginner, I don't know. It's not something that every leader that gets promoted has, because they've succeeded in their prior roles. And then they think, well, I'm good at everything I do. So how hard can this leadership stuff be, right? And they kind of just see that as a continuation of what they're already doing, when in actuality, it's a brand new career and it's a brand new job. And it's a brand new thing that they might be good at it, but they don't know yet. Right. Yep. So, and the other thing is, I say, well, if you have willingness to learn and you lead by example, then I don't even care how good you are. You will get good eventually. Right. So you need that. That's pretty much it. Willingness to learn, lead by example, and some, let's say, accountability. So this, like, character stuff that you talk about, so the ability to do what you say, and that's pretty much it. And then I always tell people, I don't care how good you are, because people say, you know, that person, they don't have, you know, certain social intelligence or communication skills. I say, that's fine. Do they have humility and desire to learn? And do they, you know, have the ability to lead by example? Because maybe they were a great programmer or whatever they are. And do they have the will to lead? So the will to lead to me means that, let's say, as I think maybe it's even a Marshall Goldsmith phrase, this enthusiastically embrace their personal growth and leadership development, right? So then you know what I'm talking about. When you see people like that, that's the ones you're like, oh, that's the kind of person I want to work with.
Yep. Right? In my country language, my simple language, I call that hungry people. That's the people I'm looking
hungry.
For. Those who are hungry for growth, that's my people right there. I don't care what level they are. I don't care how maybe bad their character is at the moment. I don't care the history, their story. I don't care nothing about who they are or think they are. If they truly hungry to get better, that's that's my perfect client. No matter if it's free client or paid client, or you know, it doesn't matter. Yep. No matter where they're from, what they look like, who's hungry. That's why I latched on to you. You're very successful. You've accomplished a lot, but you're hungry. You're hungry for to climb to the next level and beyond. That's why we connected. You hump all those things you just said. You're those things. You're humble and you're hungry. And I give you a quote to take with you. And let me just say that question I ask you, I don't get credit for that. I ain't that sharp at the moment. That come from Rhea. If you saw me look away earlier, she come in and brought me a sheet of paper and said, ask him that question. You know, ask her the number one tip for something. But that was a good question, you know, and it'll be a good plug for you. Just that little snippet, that segment. But I want to make sure I give her credit that was her question. Mm-hmm. I ask it like it was my
question. It's a good question.
But I wanted it to sound right when you gave the answer. But now I want to make sure everybody knows she's helping me look better. That's what we do for each other. You know, help, you know, your spouse, help them be better. So that's good stuff. I'll share a quote with you though about humility. It was come from Warden Burl Cain. He was a prison warden of Louisiana State Penitentiary prison system. Wow. Prison. It was when he took it over, it was known as the bloodiest prison in America. I mean, it was so bad. It was bad. Mm. And it's like, I can't remember, 4,000 or 6,000 people, 5,000, a lot of people there. But he took over. He had zero experience in the prison system. I think he was a teacher, if I remember right. He was in some kind of education. He may have been a teacher. He might have worked his way up to be, you know, like an executive or something in some type of education system. But they basically recruited him to go in there. But his quote, we met him in San Quentin out in California at the prison out there. Rhea and I were doing a lot of speaking with prison wardens at that time. They were going through a transformational program, and Rhea was a part of that, and I was there for that. But I met Warden Cain in the church there in the prison. We were sitting by each other, and he said, you know, I used to always tell everybody, you got to be humble, or he'd say, be humble so you don't stumble. And that was beautiful. I like that line. I ain't never forgot it. Be humble so you don't stumble. Warden, his name's Burl, Burl Cain, Caine, I believe it is. Mm. He's got a book. Somebody wrote a book about him. Anyway, that's pretty interesting. Let's get back to your story, Matthew. I got a sidetrack, but it was good stuff in there.
That's all right. I like the sidetrack. That's a great quote there. So, because you can't forget that one. Those are the best quotes,
that's
right?
That's a good one right there.
Yeah, and I think this, when you were talking about working with hungry people, so this is another Marshall Goldsmith thing. One of the things that I posted today in honor of his birthday, he asked the guy who was the CEO of Boeing, and then he became the CEO of Ford. His name was Alan Mulally. Alan Mulally is his name. And he said Marshall realized the client that he spent the most time with improved the least. And the client that he spent the least time with improved the most. And that was Alan Mulally. So then he always is joking. He says, so then there's the inverse relationship between success and time spent with Marshall Goldsmith. And then Alan Mulally told him, well, Marshall, if you choose the right clients, you'll always succeed. And if you choose the wrong clients, you'll never succeed as a coach. And that's what you're talking about, finding those hungry guys.
Yeah.
And then the other thing he says that's really beautiful and humble, he says, if I'm the best coach in the world and you don't get better, then who cares? And if I'm the worst coach in the world and you do get better, then who cares? It's not about the coach. And this is so important, because people ask me all the time, can you do this? Can you fix this person? I said, no, I can't. But I can tell if they're coachable, and I can try to select the good people. And I can say, hey, I don't think this person's coachable. I don't think I can help them. Or I can say, oh yeah, this one for sure. This is going to be a huge success. Cause you can, like you say, you can see who's hungry. You can see, you know, just with a few, even 1, 2, 3 hours of your time, you know, you can really help somebody, because they're fueling their own growth, and they just need a little, you know, pointer here or different perspective here or some suggestions, or you know, something to maybe just have them kind of ask them the right questions that they can unlock their, you know, their goals and get clarity on things that they want and how they might do things. And
yeah,
so that hunger is pretty much, that's the variable that, that really separates success, the successful from the not successful.
Yeah. Yep. And I can validate that, what you said from Marshall Goldsmith about, I mean, I do mentor the hungry people, but, and I don't have, they don't call me a lot because they know I'm going to dump the truck on them when they call. They got a lot of stuff to go do. So they don't call very often because they're the
people
who are really going
to
go do the
stuff. I'm not ready to call you till I can look you in the eye and say, hey, I did all those things I said I was going to do, Mac. So,
yep. And that's what we, you know, you and I both know, and the listeners may not know. So I just want to make sure they know, but what I do for people, what you do for people is, I tell people there ain't no shortcut. You got to do the work, but you can travel down the path. You got to travel at different speeds. And what folks like me and you and Rhea do is we accelerate your journey. You still got to do the work, but there's no shortcut, but we can get some obstacles out of your way. Things are going to slow you down. Yep. Or we can give you some tips, or in your case, coaching, you can ask some questions that's going to provoke thought that somebody's never had and raise their level of awareness to a level that's never been. And help them do what we always say, keep climbing, right?
Yep, that's right. That's right.
So where were you in your story that you can pick back up on?
So, yeah, so then I had this business for 9 years. So in Croatia, because, now it's improved a lot, but the economic picture was not always great. It was not the wealthiest country in Europe, you might say. So then in Croatia – if it's not about if your company's profitable or how profitable it is, but even if you've had a company for 9 years, you're a success. Oh, yeah. So I always joke about people. They say, oh, I had a company for 9 years. 9 years? You didn't go bankrupt? 9 years. Wow. So, but the truth is, yeah. So basically this is where I can get into the love story. So then I met my wife.
Let me ask you this. I got to interrupt you before you tell the wife story. You're doing okay on battery. We don't want to lose this wife story.
I'm good. No, I'm down to 4%. Thanks for reminding me. That's good. So I'm going to plug it in, and then we'll just switch to this normal. We don't want to
lose the wife story.
you can see that you're an experienced podcaster here. So I got to plug in my phone here. It's amazing that we can do this on the phones, huh?
It's so awesome.
Things have changed since my dial-up internet days.
It's so awesome. Okay, so get back to the love story. This is a good to get to the juice of the good stuff now.
Yeah, so I met my wife in Bosnia, in Sarajevo, at the Sarajevo Film Festival. And this was one of those kind of destiny things. So one of my clients, his name is Tomica Vujic. He was the CEO of a big bank here. And very close personal friend, and he helped me a lot in my career because he was my coaching client. So I got to coach this really stupendous leader, and then his direct reports and things. So he really helped me a lot there, and I helped him, I think, a little bit too. But he got me then. I asked him, hey, do you know anybody? I was going to visit a friend there in Bosnia. I said, hey, do you know anybody who can get me a ticket to this film festival? Because he's in Croatia, everybody knows everybody. So then he called a guy from Atlantic Group, Nevin there at Atlantic Group, who was one of the main guys there who then put me on a list. I didn't know I was on this list, but then I went to this film festival and I went there with my friend. I said, let's go see if we're on the list. And then I just gave my name, and then they gave me this VIP pass to go see all the films and go to all the parties. And then I met my wife at one of these parties there, and she's from Ukraine, and she had been traveling the world, I think, for 2 or 3 years, and she had been through Croatia and Southeast Asia and South America. And then I went to this party and saw her there, and she was off in the corner dancing by herself and spinning in circles for like 3-4 hours, and I was just, you know, entranced. It was like there was a spotlight shining on her. I said, man, who is this lady who's so filled with joy and happiness, and it's like there was nobody else there, you know. And I just said, oh, I got to meet this lady. And then I tried to stop her. She walked by me, and I tried to stop her, and she just brushed by me. That's how these Eastern European girls, that's how they do it. It's not like America. In America, you stop a girl and talk to her, she's going to talk back to you. She might even come to you nowadays and approach you first and ask for your number. So then I said, oh man, she just breezed by me. So then she was going to the bathroom or whatever, and she came back. And then when she came back, then I, you know, grabbed her a little bit by the shoulders and introduced myself. And then she made the big mistake of giving me her number, and we met again, and we had a date and whatever. And then she came back to Croatia with me. And then, we decided to start a family right away. So she's kind of, I'm kind of an ultra spontaneous person, and she's an ultra spontaneous person.
Okay.
So then we didn't think a lot about what we were doing. We just went with it. And now we've been together almost 10 years.
Wow, and we have three children. That's awesome.
Yeah. So thank you. Yeah. We have three children. Prema is almost 9, and Shanti is 4, and Ananda is our newborn son. He's 4 months old.
Okay, you got a house full of them.
Yeah, I got a house full of them, yep. And so then we had the child and things, and then, you know, the business just wasn't going good enough at that time. So then it was like, man, this running your own business is pretty tough. Boy, if I could only get a job, that'd be like getting a vacation compared to, you know, trying to make it here in Croatia with this company. So then I was very fortunate. I applied for a few jobs. I was applying for jobs in Berlin because it was one of the favorite cities I had been to. And then I think Czech Republic and Spain. And then this computer game developer in Berlin hired me because I had the coaching experience. And then I went there to work for 4 years, actually, in Berlin. So first as a talent development manager, and then as the head of people and culture. And then this was an amazing experience. So the company is called Jaeger. It's an amazing company, but the computer game industry itself is an amazing place to work because the people are so passionate about their work.
Yeah.
So you have like 110% engaged people because they love video games and they've been making them, playing them their whole lives. So that was really special working with them. And then then this COVID thing happened and all that. And then this one friend, it's funny, I had coached him for free. I'd never charged him anything because he was 23-year-old guy who contacted me for English lessons. I said, man, you don't need English lessons. You're an entrepreneur. You don't have time for that. So he said, I've never spoken English this long in my life. He's talked to me for 40 minutes. It's good enough. Just go with it. But I said, if you ever need my help, you know, feel free to call me. And then, you know, when he would have a presentation, he'd go to a conference or have to present, or he would, you know, have a, let's say, high stakes business meeting or phone call that we would sit and talk, or he was having some management problems or needed to make some decisions, and he would call me as his trusted person. And then that guy, his name's Ivan Klaric, when I first met him, he had just founded a company and there were 3 employees. And then he ended up making a really big success out of it and then sold it to a larger company. And then I hadn't talked to him in several years, but he kind of remembered me as this guy who had helped him early on in his career. And then he founded a new company, and then he called me up in Germany. And he said, hey, man, I'm building a new company. We're going to make a social network for sports fans. And he was reading, I think he's probably read 50 leadership books and different business books and things. And he said, as he was reading the book called the Trillion Dollar Coach, I think.
I'm not familiar with that.
Dollar Coach. So this is about the guy who coached like Steve Jobs and the founder, founder of Google. And it's a pretty good book itself. Bill, I forget his name now, but I highly recommend this one. So as he was reading that, he said, I need a guy like that. Who do I know like that? And then he called me cause he remembered, oh yeah, I just know that one guy who's into leadership and company culture and things. And so then that's how I ended up coming back to Croatia. So it was kind of unusual because usually people are leaving Croatia to go get jobs in Western Europe. But then I came back from Berlin to Croatia. And so then now that company, so I was working in the original company that he founded half the time, and then the new startup that he founded half the time. And so now I'm currently working there in the Superbet group. So it's been absorbed. Those two entities have been absorbed in this larger corporation. And so then I'm, you know, responsible for coaching and training of the new leaders and things in that company. So I'm still there at the moment. Yep.
That's good stuff though, man. You got a great story and it really is. It's aligned you very well for this. I mean, you know that, but I'm just affirming it to you. I mean, all you got to do is the work. Just like everybody else I talk to,
the work.
Like everybody you talk to,
that's
all you got to do is do the work. And you need to do it, like I told you before. And you are doing it. That's why you're on the podcast. That's why you got your justpromoted.com, going. You got that going. You're getting your podcast going. You ready to go, man?
Yeah. It's going well. It's exciting. So then that's the most recent turn of events is that I started posting on LinkedIn every day. So that started in January as a New Year's resolution, and I hadn't been posting at all. So literally zero. And I wasn't looking at LinkedIn and I wasn't posting there.
Okay.
And then
we met pretty quick after that. We met.
Yeah. Yeah.
Part of that is what caused us to meet. Part of your initiative to be intentional.
Yep. No. So I will recommend to anybody listening to this, post on LinkedIn every day for 90 days and see what happens because it's just unbelievable. And there were two reasons I started doing this. The one thing was that I felt, let's say, it's like a, I guess it's an anxiety or like, it's not quite fear. It's like a subtle form of fear. So it doesn't appear to be fear. It's just like, oh, that's not for me. Or, why would I do that? Or I don't have anything to say. Yeah. And then because I had that resistance, I said, I probably need that because I need to do something out of my comfort zone. And then why not that? So it wasn't with any kind of idea of any results that would occur other than getting out of my comfort zone. And then the second reason was because I thought to myself, well, I'm just impacting, two, three, four people per day. But if I create, start writing posts, then sometimes people like that post or comment or say, hey, that's really useful. And so then I said, well, maybe I could impact more people, or maybe I could have more of an influence or increase my impact, as you talk about, right? Be a more influential or high impact person, or like you said, to help more people by getting this message out or getting something out. And so that started January 6th. So it hasn't been 90 days yet, getting close.
Okay.
But you just can't believe it. So every day I'm meeting amazing people. So just like how we met, every day I meet three, four, five. Yeah, I'm just collecting them. I got 100 or 200 people that would be amazing podcast guests and collaborators and who are aligned with the justgotpromoted.com mission. And it's just unbelievable what has happened and really good and inspiring people. So that's the part, I told someone today, I'm a sponge. And if I'm surrounded by negative people who are complaining and lazy and not doing anything, then that's going to affect me negatively. I'm going to suck that up. But if I'm seeing all these people who are, making things happen, like you say, make it happen, then that really influences me. There's thousands of people there every day that are encouraging each other and pushing each other to whatever goals they're pursuing to do that and make it happen.
To make it happen. And I'll just share with the audience, I've got a podcast about why you should get on LinkedIn. And I think it's around episode 97, maybe 97, but I can't remember, but it's on the podcast. So if you're, no matter what level you're at out there, but especially if you're not using LinkedIn, check out the Blue Collar Leadership podcast, go to episode somewhere around 97 and you'll get a little lesson on that. Excuse me. But that's pretty awesome, man. And I can tell you, we basically built our business and our brand on LinkedIn. I mean, that's really where we did it all to begin with. I mean, for so long, every single thing we did could be traced back to a relationship that started on LinkedIn. But, today it's a little different. We kind of out there a lot more, but we got going on LinkedIn. I mean, just like you said, we were meeting people, talking to people. I mean, even still today, if I get some free time, I can go get busy on LinkedIn. If I want to, I can go out there and I can start talking to people and finding people to help. It's just real easy. I mean, that's kind of how we connected at some point.
That's right.
I was like, well, that's somebody I think I can help. I sensed that you were a little hungry. I didn't have any idea how, but man, I'm so glad that did I played a small piece, a small role in acting language. I played a small role in your big picture. So that's cool to have motivated you in there. And I'm sure we'll know each other the rest of our lives. That's the kind of relationship it is. And and who we are is who we attract. And that's what we're going to do in trying to help other people do that. So is there anything you haven't said you want to say or anything like that?
I'm glad you set me up there, because I made a note for what I wanted to close with, and it's the topic of mentorship.
Okay.
And so you've actually, it appears to you that you've played a small role, but from my perspective, it is that you've played a huge role, and it's actually been, so all of us have, let's say we have some pieces in place and we have some missing pieces. And that mentorship piece, so someone who we can look at and say, I want to be like that guy, the thing that he does, right? So the coach is the person who's a professional coach and helps you get through your obstacles, but the mentor is the one that you can look at and say, well, whatever he's radiating, what he's doing, you know, I want to be like that. And I think a lot of people do have mentors, and if you don't have one, then, you know, you need to hopefully find one. But I think in this case, it's not that easy to find the right one. But if somebody does resonate with you, right? So you wrote to me, but then when you resonated with me, then I wrote to you. I said, hey, you know, you've been a blessing to me just from watching that YouTube video. And I think, you know, that's that missing piece of the mentorship is a real blessing. And it's a kind of, you know, not exactly as powerful as meeting my wife, but it's a similar, you know, fortuitous encounter. Like you said, like attracts alike. So some kind of energy is out there, like a magnetism, pulling people together and separating them. And then, you know, they come at the right time for the right reason. And then most people, you know, who are our age have had those kind of experiences and know what we're talking about. That, you know, somehow you attract something and it's what you need at that time. And so even though we haven't known each other that long, I agree with you that we're going to know each other for a long time, and we're going to be working together, and we're going to be, you know, watching each other make it happen. And it's a really amazing experience to be on your podcast now, these several weeks after we've met. And it really, this is my first podcast experience. So to tell my exclusive story here on the Blue Collar Leadership Podcast, and I'm not a blue collar guy, but I am from Pittsburgh. So I'm from a blue collar city, at least. And we got a blue collar football team. And so we're blue collar football fans. So that's my blue collar connection. And I love some tough love. So I don't need anything fancy, anything these intellectuals and the professors and the PhDs. I don't need any of that. I need the tough love. Like when I hear you close one of your podcasts and you say, or one of your videos, you say, make it happen. Or somebody else will. Might as well be you.
Yeah.
And I just tell myself that every day, you know, make it happen, or somebody else will. Might as well be you. And so, now the phone is rung. The calling came. You got to step up and make it happen, or somebody else will. So, might as well be me.
It might as well be you. I mean, it ought to be you. I hope it is you. But I mean, you know, I know you like the inverse of things. So think about it from the other perspective, because I've been going to write this to you on some post, but I just hadn't ever been the right timing to do it yet. But because I want to make sure you understood it, but you're going to understand it as soon as I say it. I don't know if you'd understood it the same way when I write it, but anyway, so, you know, I say, make it happen, because nobody else will. I'm talking about just promoted.com. But if you put that out there, somebody gonna make that happen. It's too good. Yeah. But what you got to think in your mind is those people that you want to help. If you don't make it happen, nobody else will. That means I got to do it. Right. That's what you were talking about, right? You got to feel that pressure. And I just share with people.
Yeah.
You know, you say you're not a blue collar guy, but just like I tell people, it doesn't matter. White collar, blue collar is listening to us talk. They understand all this stuff applies to them. Principles apply to everybody. That's right. So,
my lane,
I want to specifically speak to as many blue collar people as I can, because that's where I come from. And there's not that much support in that space. But we do speak to white collar folks, and you don't care. You just want somebody who's just been promoted. I want you to share something. I want you to share a couple of things. I know we've been going for a little bit. Do you have time for a couple more questions?
I do. Yep.
So I know you.
The kids are asleep now, so I'm free.
You're good to go. So a couple of things. I'll ask them both, and you can ask them whenever order you want to. But I'd like you just share with our listeners who may not know the difference between, you know, training, coaching, and mentoring. I know, but I want to hear your reference, and it's about you. I want you to tell them in case somebody's listening and don't know the difference. And then the other thing is, I know you know about the Peter Principle. So because you touched on it before, but you didn't use that term. But I just want you to talk a little bit about, you know, getting promoted, and then you got to do the work to get to you know what the Peter Principle is. So talk about those two things, however you'd like to.
So training is a useful thing, but it's basically educating or showing people skills, right? More talking about them, or I guess if you're working in a factory and things, then you'll actually learn how machines work and things. But it's usually something that has a beginning or an end. So it's kind of it's lacking continuity and follow-up. So if you're doing the exact things you learn in the training, that's great. But oftentimes, especially when it comes to leadership, people will have some training at the beginning, or, you know, if they're lucky, and then that'll be the end of it. They'll be just expected to go, right? So coaching is something that's more, often it's more sustained, and it's about really what people are doing. So that's the way I understand. So I know there's different definitions, and the International Coaching Federation and things have their own. But the way that I'm looking at it is similar to what, you know, how Marshall Goldsmith is doing it. So really focusing up on what people are doing and trying to get feedback from the environment about what they could do differently or better to lead their people. And this is a little bit different than the ICF coaching, but I spend a lot of time, you know, making sure that people, let's say, get a 360 or feedback from their people, and that we try to figure out really what's their leadership bottleneck as assessed and determined by their direct reports. And then so that's one of the main ways in which I work. So I do a lot of different kinds of coaching, but that's, let's say, the most impactful is really trying to help somebody get around an obstacle, or, you know, it could be a skill gap. So then we learn some skills and things around that. But ultimately, it's something that's individualized, and I'm kind of bringing this, let's say, view of sports coaching. So it's taking a high performance person and trying to figure out how to enhance their performance. And similarly, when a sports coach is working with an athlete, it's going to be a very different approach for different athletes, right? Depending on what they need. And then mentorship is really that idea that, you know, somebody's in the same field. So then a person who's a CEO, maybe they have a mentor who's another CEO.
Yeah.
Right. Or a person who's a lawyer, they might have a mentor that's a lawyer. Right. Yeah. So then there's often that similarity that somebody's operating in the same field, or, you know, a young football player is being mentored by an older football player, or even a retired football player.
Yeah.
Right. So that there's some kind of, there's that role model in there. So, I mean, some people who are not coaches might see me as a role model in some ways, but it's different when a programmer is working with me, then they don't want to be a coach, most likely. Yep. So then they need a programmer who became a people-centered leader or an effective leader of people. That would be an example of a mentor for them. Okay. And ideally, when people have, I mean, it's a blessing when it occurs, but it does happen that people have their direct manager be a sort of mentor. And I think you mentioned you had a situation like that, but not that often, right?
Only
where
once.
You were able to actually, only once, all right.
In 20 years.
So, only once in 20 years, but that's a beautiful thing when that happens. And I think it's probably in some of the, you know, I don't know, if Microsoft or IBM or GE, some of these companies that are known for having good leadership development and high standards for leadership. I think there are companies where you're more likely to have, you know, competent and decent leaders in the ranks.
Yeah.
So I think it is out there in some places, but so that's the mentorship bit.
Yep.
But basically, I think one of the main things that Marshall Goldsmith is known for is this leadership is a contact sport, a study that they did with follow-up. so that people, if they're getting like a, if you get a 360 or if you have some training or something and there's no follow-up, then there's a lot less, it's a lot less likely that you'll improve. And so then that key variable, so if we send out every 2 or 3 months a survey, like, did Mac get better at X, Y, and Z?
Yep.
Right. Then the likelihood that you're going to get better is going to be much higher. Or if you and I have a call once a month to say, so what did you get done? Or, you know, and then I have that accountability. And this is kind of the key ingredient that coaching can provide that training is often lacking. So,
okay, so that's good stuff. So now let's think about the person who just got promoted. What's the PETA principle? What do they need to know about the PETA principle if they just got promoted?
What do they say, that you get promoted to your highest level of incompetence?
Yeah.
Yeah, so when you're not able to perform or you're not able to get better to get to that next level.
Yep. Yeah,
at that level. But the problem is that when people are not able to perform at that level, they still stay in those roles. So there's not a lot of returning people back to the individual contributor level.
Yeah.
That's part of the problem is that.
I was just going to say that's what's awesome about what you want to do, you know, with justgotpromoted.com is part of your mission is, you didn't say this, but I'm saying it, but it's true relative to this conversation at the moment. You're trying to make sure that people don't fall victim to the PETA principle. That's
right.
Really your mission, but that's most people don't know what the PETA principle is, but that's if they do, that's what your goal is there.
Yeah. I read a study. It said, I think it was 30% or 40% of, I mean, it was 30% of people, newly promoted leaders will fail or lose their job within the first, I think, year and a half. It was something like that.
Yep.
And so then coaching can really make a difference for those folks. Because I think a huge part of the problem that I find is that people don't know what they don't know. So, but I do the training part. So I do the kind of onboarding for leaders and do the training part and the teaching the skills. But then that follow-up is so important. And I think that's, you know, the vision for justgotpromoted.com is that it's an ongoing thing. It's like a support group and a club that as long as you want to be in it, you'll be in it. So the idea is, you know, not because everyone can take a leadership course. You can go to Udemy or LinkedIn Learning and take courses. But then the idea of having this group of leaders and access to, you know, people like you, people like me that are there to help you with continuity is really a valuable thing. And I think that follow up and continuity and making, like you said, making leadership development and personal development, personal growth, a lifestyle that you embrace from now until your last breath.
Yeah.
And so then being around other people who are into that is a really valuable thing. And that's what we're trying to create. So the community. So it's not just that you learn and leave, but have this community of leaders growing together.
Good stuff. You got anything else, man? It's been an awesome episode.
I think
you're going to, You dumped the truck on us today. It's good stuff you've been dropping.
Yeah, so I just want to say thanks to you, Mac, and it's been a real joy getting to know you, and I'm looking forward to continuing our stories together and having you on my podcast next.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome, man. I consider it a privilege. So,
So
if you ain't got nothing else, we're going to wrap it up. You good with that?
Yeah, just I want to just say, I'll close and say, tell everyone, keep climbing, and I'm going to tell them, make it happen or somebody else will, and it might as well be you.
All right. Well, thank you, Matthew.
Sorry if I took your line, but.
Hey, I like it. I like it. That's good stuff. So I appreciate you staying up late in Croatia to record this with us. And I hope, you know, the Blue Collar Leadership YouTube channel is new, so ain't got a lot of subscribers at the moment. But over time, I think this series is going to be awesome. And I think people, you know, we don't promote stuff. We look for grassroots organic growth. That's the way we grow our business. So if enough people like it, it's going to get out over time. So hopefully you'll be seeing people watch your, you know, you'll be having people reach out to you, hopefully for years as this thing becomes popular.
Yeah, I hope so. It's pretty exciting. Podcast number one, and hopefully what will be many, many podcasts.
All right. All right, folks. Well, thanks for listening. Be sure to reach out to Matthew if you heard him say something you want to talk to him about or you think he can help you. Check out justgotpromoted.com. You're going to see that grow. Whatever it is today, it's going to be something out else next month, something else, you know, next year. So, because we're going to put the pressure on Matthew. He ain't letting off the gas. He's going to build some kind of big brand out of this thing. So
that's right.
You guys dive into it. Stay on top.
Better believe it. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Right now. So right now it's a newsletter, and the podcast is in the works. So that'll be next, starting with my dad. And then where it's going to go from there, we'll announce one step at a time.
All right. All right. Thank you, Matthew. And everybody who's listening. Yep. All right.
Thank you, Rhea.
Yeah. Rhea's in the background making it all happen, right?
Yep. She does a good job.
Most of the stuff I do, if it wasn't for her supporting me and helping me, it wouldn't get done. I wouldn't be doing it at all, a lot of these things. folks. Hope you enjoyed today's episode. Talk to you next time.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Make it happen or someone else will. It might as well be you. Are you serious about taking your career and your life to the next level and beyond? Check out Max Story's Blue Collar Leadership Series books and others, now available on audio, along with paperback and ebooks at Amazon, iTunes, and Audible. Please visit BlueCollarLeadership.com to learn about Max's books, programs, special offers, certifications, and more. Thank you for listening to the Blue Collar Leadership Podcast.